You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another fun episode of Ask Drone You. Fresh back from our San Diego mapping class, which is a riot and a great success. We are here today to discuss some more mapping stuff, like pricing, things that we may add a whole new day to the class just to go over specific deliverables for specific industries. It's something that we're thinking about doing. We have a 3-day class right now. We're thinking about going to 4. Just that way everyone can understand, okay, here's the mapping software, here's what it does, but here's the actual deliverable and what you have to do for construction, for cut and fill, for surveyors, for Alta surveys, for topos, all these different things. So we're working with Leica and another group that we'll be telling you about very shortly to go over even more deliverables out of the Pix40 suite of softwares. And we are really excited about that. But anyway, I've just rambled. My name is Paul. Welcome to the show.
Welcome back. My name is Rob. Paul's been out of town for a while at the class, so good to have him back. And we're excited to be here with you. Thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. Thank you for the reviews, by the way. They've been really upticking, and I really appreciate it. We've got some really exciting shows and some trainings coming up. If you haven't checked out the trainings, make sure you do. Also, guess what? The business course is now live. If you are a DroneU member, you have exclusive access into the business course. For how long? Well, not sure. But we want to hear your feedback on that course. It is available. And if you want to check out all our upcoming mapping classes, just go to bit.ly/drone-mapping-classes. That's bit.ly/drone-mapping-classes. Check it out. All right, Rob, what's our question for today? It came in via email, is that right?
Yeah, it is actually a detailed question because it did come in as an email. And typically we ask folks, if you're going to send us an email with a question, to please send it and record it. And so we kind of reply to people that way when they send us an email. In this case, there's a lot of detail. Mark was at the training this weekend. And so we thought it would be good to go into this a little bit deeper. And it's a question that he's asking about pricing that we think could benefit a lot of you. At least we hope it can. So I'm going to kind of jump into it. I won't read it word for word, but kind of skim through it and give you a feel for what he's asking, although I will read a lot of it. So Mark's letting us know that he's got an opportunity to bid a mapping project, and he's wanting some help on the pricing aspect of that. It's his first commercial mapping project opportunity. So
Wow. Excited
to be able to help him with that and really hope that he gets it. A little bit about the project. It's a commercial box store, or a big box store, and they're looking for some modeling, some mapping to be used for inspection and for some measurements. They don't say exactly what kind of measurements, at least he doesn't. The building and the site, it's about 2 acres. It's a flat top commercial building. Sounds like pretty straightforward. No major obstacles. Could get access to the ceiling if he needed to. I'm sorry, to the roof. Timing is an issue in pricing. So when you have to go do it, for example, if you've got to go do something like he suggests here on a Sunday morning, that's probably going to be a little bit more expensive than if you could go on a regular workday, right? That's just kind of the nature of something I would consider when I'm pricing. Airspace looks good. Let's see. They do want GCPs. Because they wanted, like I said, get
survey
some accurate
accuracy.
Measurements.
Hey, by the way, at the I've got a quality report to show you. We were using Leica GS14 and GS16 rover stations, which is RTK grade GPS, and our accuracy on mapping the golf course this weekend, our RMS error was 0.0008.
It's a lot of zeros.
That means it's about 99.9% accurate.
It's a lot of accuracy.
So it was awesome.
That's cool. No, that's very cool. And I'm sure folks like this would really, really appreciate that. So this is what the deliverable looks like that they're asking for. GeoTIFF, Ortho.
Yeah, familiar.
Of course.
Step 3.
And then they want Pix4D access, I guess, to get in there and kind of manipulate it themselves.
So, okay, so this is a really key point, and I think it's a really key point for a lot of people who are doing mapping missions. As a part of your Pix4D mapper subscription, you do get access to the Pix4D cloud. You can upload your Pix4D project file and corresponding images. And then what it does is it gives the user essentially a way to interact with your maps and your models. You can click at specific images. You can see what's going on. You can then zoom into those images. And it really provides a lot of access to the project. As far as the client interacting with the files, I'm not sure if they're able to download the files or not. But the key here is that interacting with the model through the Pix4D cloud allows them to click on a point, blow up that image, and check out exactly what they want to see. So it takes you from the model to the image direct.
So can they, because they're asking for linear and area measurement capability, will they be able to do that with those models?
So in all honesty, I would not trust any of my clients to actually be able to take linear measurements and also surface measurements or area measurements. So what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to map this site. We've been talking about using 5 GCPs, which is great. 5 GCPs is definitely a good distribution throughout the map and the model. The only problem is typically we want to take a couple extra GCP units. We call them checkpoints. That way we can actually measure the accuracy from the initial location of the images versus the optimized location of the images and the map corresponding to the GCPs. The checkpoints essentially do not utilize georeferencing in showcasing the accuracy between the optimized image points and the checkpoints themselves. So it's a way for us to ultimately check accuracy. Now, that's important because in order to do accurate linear measurements and in order to do accurate volumetric measurements, we have to be using GCPs to get a good quality of data. Now, when it comes to linear measurements, and this is something that I'm not sure if Mark had made it to this point in the class yet. I know when he comes back, he'll be good. He was having some computer problems. And whenever you're having computer problems doing processing, it is a nightmare.
Like, very frustrating, too.
Oh, we're talking super deep information where you have to be up to speed and, you know, along with the class. And he was really having some errors. By the way, guys, if you ever come to a Drone U or a Pix4D or anything class, it's really vital and important to bring a Windows machine or to have a machine that you can remote into. I typically would not even recommend remoting in because a lot of people utilize certain types of remote softwares to remote in. And I use LogMeIn. I like it. But remoting in doesn't always work. You really need a powerful Windows machine, i7, 16 gigs of RAM. You know, we're going to be processing exercises that are not more than maybe like 200 images. You know, at this last class, we did do a final output model of the golf course to showcase, okay, we got our images, we got our GCPs, let's put it all together and do an output. So we did do that. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun to showcase that. But in order to do linear measurements, we have to do MTPs, which are called manual tie points. These manual tie points have to be marked in a minimum of 6 images and a maximum of 12 images. But how we mark our MTPs is also really important because our MTPs can also help us re-optimize the map to help eliminate ellipsoid error. What this means, ellipsoid error, all this, is that essentially when we're marking our GCPs, we're clicking into photos that says, okay, this point, not a pixel, this point is the same point as all these other images, and I want to mark from this point to this point. And when I do these MTPs, I can actually get polyline measurements from one MTP to another MTP. You have to use MTPs to do polyline measurements if you ever want accuracy, because you really can zoom in, blow up pictures, pick that exact point that you want to measure from, and be as accurate as possible, which is really, really, really imperative. That being said, with our MTPs, when we're marking them in images, in order to eliminate ellipsoid error, we should try to be marking images almost in like a 360 fashion. So when we're marking these images, we don't want to just mark the first 6 images that really show up in our MTP editor. What we want to do is try to find the images that correlate. I mean, think of how you put on a tire, right? Whenever you tighten the bolts on a tire, you start with one bolt and then you go to the opposite bolt and then tighten that one and then go to the adjacent and then the opposite from there to essentially ensure that you tighten it and kind of around in a circle. Mm-hmm. When you're picking MTPs, it's kind of like the same thing. So it's really...
That helps.
Yeah. So it's really important to have really accurate MTPs, 8 to 12 images in each MTP. Then what we would do is when we have our linear measurements around the property, we would essentially output our DXF file, which would we would then upload into AutoCAD, and it would be able to georeference that model and the lines, but only show the MTP lines in the DXF file, which is typically what they're after.
There you go.
Wow. I just kind of went like deep.
I didn't see that coming. That was great. All right. So carrying on with the question.
I told you I like the deep questions.
He does throw out some expense considerations that need to be factored in. For example, there's a cost to Pix4D. He's thrown in $350 for the entire month, allocated it to this job. Fine that you can do that. I suppose if you're doing a job a month, that makes a lot of sense. Hopefully you're doing more than that, in which case it doesn't make quite as much sense, but that's okay. And then he's going to have to rent some GCP, some arrow points, which is another $350, amortized cost, insurance.
Can we talk really quick about arrow points versus versus like a Trimble Total Station or a Trimble Rover and a Leica Rover and a Leica system? Okay, let me just put this really, really, really clear. Cause we should even do a whole show on this because people really understand how to input GPS, GCP data into Pix4D and other softwares because the way that it's done is really difficult.
Unless you have a system, right?
And you have a system, which
that's the key.
That's what I showed Johnny, and that's why he was all over the DroneU Facebook page being like, the San Diego mapping class was completely worth it because I learned to accurately input my GCPs because he was inputting them, and he didn't understand the difference between Northern Eastern and Eastern Northern. It's all about GIS. Anyway, long story short, I showed him how to make the changes, do it properly, and shazam, the problem was solved. Arrow points, right? A lot of people are checking out arrow points because they're cheap. They're only $6,000 versus a $25,000 total station or versus a $15,000 Trimble Rover unit. A lot of people are using the MLID system, MLID Reach. We've talked about them before, but I learned very, very deeply that it's only single band RTK, and why so many people are having issues using them is because it's so hard to connect to a network to correct the GPS information. In order to understand what these GPS units, arrow points, Leica, Trimble, what they're doing, is you have to set a coordinate system. That coordinate system is really important because what it is it's like a localized map, and that map helps eliminate the error in the GPS unit. So you could go out there and not be connected to a network and still have a 10-foot error in the GPS unit. But when you connect to a network, it corrects with its what's called the ellipsoid map. And what it does is then corrects for that elevation, which elevation is the hardest axis to control as far as accuracy is concerned. And you know, I have to say with when it comes to arrow points, you know, you put them out there for 90 minutes, they're $6,000. A lot of people are going after them. They really like it. But you can run into more problems with arrow points than say if you were to run into a Leica system or a Trimble system that actually has a network to connect to and do all these things. We're going to be talking about that soon. I know he's running arrow points. When he was at the class, he got to see just how simple it was to use the Leica RTK system. The Leica RTK system, I collected 9 points in about 24 minutes.
Well, and you rented that for roughly the same cost as he's got here, right?
$313 for a week.
Yeah. So,
but that was for
another
a week.
Option.
So if he has, so I mean, like if he's going to get those for a week, I would go out and do every single mapping project that he wants to go after.
Right. Of course, the week that was a minimum rental was a week, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you could get it for less for a day, at least not where we rented. And there probably are not a lot of places that rent those things.
There are not a lot of places. We're actually going to be partnering with that company and giving you more information about that here shortly. So.
Got it. Very cool. Okay. So important stuff to incorporate. So we mentioned some other amortized costs that he's got in there, including insurance, things like that. And then he's also got some travel. Bottom line is, into the job, cost-wise, roughly $1,000 before he ever gets out there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously need to factor that into the pricing, or at least have an understanding of what that is when you are doing the pricing to determine, well, I can only charge $900 for this if I do it. Well, that's not going to work, right?
True.
Unless you're trying to get bigger business, and so there's a bigger picture to that. But that said, that's something that's really important to consider when he's talking about getting this done. It's going to take about 2 hours to get there. It's about he's factoring, including travel, about an 8 hour job, 8 to 10 hours. So pricing this,
seems
but before,
like a lot longer than what it would really take.
Really? Well, yeah. Of that 8 to 10 hours, 4 of it's driving.
Okay. That makes more sense.
That makes more sense. So before we get into the answer to the question, we're going to tell you a little bit about one of our newest sponsors, FortressUAV.com. You crashed your drone and you're feeling sad.
So sad.
We don't want you to be sad.
Don't be sad.
Nor do our friends and your friends at FortressUAV.com. Fortress Solutions is what they started out as. In 2002, they were founded, and they have grown to be the largest telecom equipment repair supplier in the global market, and they have now branched out into repairing drones. So these guys know what they're doing. They've got drone repair technicians that are OEM trained, and their facility is certified. Five easy steps is going to get your drone taken care of. You simply package it up. Don't forget the remote. Ship it to Fortress. And then they're going to diagnose it for you. They're going to take a deep dive look at what's going on with your drone. Software, hardware, everything having to do with that drone. And then they're going to let you know what that's going to cost to fix it or what it needs. And by the way, they do all that for free. And if you choose not to have it fixed, no problem. They're going to ship it back to you. Shipping is on you. And obviously, if they do fix it, then they'll take care of it and they'll return it to you as well. 7-day turnaround is what they're promising. Pretty darn quick.
Very fast.
Have that back up in the air in no time.
Way faster than what I got.
That's very true.
Not from them. Another company.
Another company. So check them out at fortressuav.com/droneu. And when you're in the issue details section of the repair request, be sure and enter the promo code DRONEU, and they'll give you 10% off of your repair order.
10%.
So get that drone back in the air ASAP with Fortress UAV.
Take flight now.
Okay. So I'm really curious as to how you would approach this, Paul, and how you would look at, I mean, would you, typically we don't look at things on an hourly basis. That said, we do know how many hours he thinks it's going to take roughly. You don't generally charge probably full
Here's
value
something
for travel.
That's really interesting, right? So a lot of people think of drone mapping jobs as something where we focus significantly on the time it takes to acquire the images. And I think Mark would be one of the people who, again, attended a San Diego mapping class, who would say, you know, maybe that represents one quarter or one fifth of the time that it actually takes to complete a mapping job. And I think that that's a really important piece of advice for a lot of people who are out there doing mapping jobs. There's the cost to acquire the imagery, and then there's the cost to process that imagery and upload it to a deliverable. And, you know, he has to come up with that time. I think it's safe to say for acquisition, you could easily charge $300 an hour for acquisition as you're someone who's taking care of the airspace waivers and all of that. And then I would charge an hourly fee for the processing itself. Is that $100? Is that a day rate? Is it just a processing charge? For me, again, I package things together. I do not itemize line items. I say, you know, mapping acquisition, mapping processing, output orthomosaic, output DXF, create manual tie points for linear measurements. Like, I wouldn't actually say MTPs. You don't want to give them too much information. Create linear measurements, output to DXF file, ensure delivery to client, output, you know, project file to PIX40 model, and send to client. How long is that going to take? Because for me, if I sat in front of a computer and did it, it would probably take me, and doing it really quickly, maybe like 6 or 8 hours. It also depends on how much time it's going to take for his computer to process that material. Because the other thing is what we call sunk cost, right? What is he giving up by spending that time, you know, doing the mapping itself?
Or for example, time away from marketing and getting other business.
Or email. Like some, I know a lot of computers can't really do anything when they're processing data. So,
yeah.
I mean, we have a powerhouse and you can't do anything when it's processing data.
Yeah.
So, you know, that being said, that's another thing you have to factor in. I don't know. I think that here's the thing is that, you know, people like DroneBase have really degraded the costs of these mapping jobs, but they're also, I know, not getting the very best data. Uplift has done a good job of kind of creating a higher price point than DroneBase, which is always good. Now, that being said, I think for this job to do, you know, the other thing too is he's, you know, he's not quote unquote signing off on it. He's, you know, these linear measurements and whatnot. What is
No, in fact, it says it does not need to be survey certified or
Wow.
that kind of accuracy. I mean, they want it relatively accurate
obviously,
to get a good
that's
sense.
Why he wants GCPs.
Right, right.
My point in saying arrow points versus Leica is the arrow points take longer. They have to correct. It's going to take him longer for the job. You have to price that in. That was kind of the long and the short of it.
Or just price that in and then go a more efficient direction.
Like with Leica.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right. So I'm thinking if this were me, put it to you this way. If this were me, I'd probably charge like $3,500. And I think you could probably get more for it, but I would say, you know.
Okay, so if we can, let's break that down a little bit. And I'm not saying by hour or anything like that, but how do we justify that to the client?
Well, he's using a full day to go out there and map the images. So what is that worth to him? I know Mark has done very well in his life and that he probably has his time is maybe more valuable than others. So he probably have a higher price point. Sunk costs in the travel to get out there. So he's out there for a day.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's one price. For most people, it's probably like $500 to $1,000 to be up there for the day. Okay? So let's say it's $1,000 for him to be out there for the day. What is his time worth? Let's say that it's 400 or 500 images, which big box store, that would make sense. 400 or 500 images. He's doing a grid. He's doing a double orbit. If they really want crazy detail, depending on how done the building is, you know, detail underneath awnings and overhangs and all that, is he going to be doing point cloud cleanup? Because you could make a map in 4 hours and spend 16 cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
So
he doesn't mention that, but.
So that's another thing that he's got. So for me, I'm looking at acquisition time. Let's just call it a grand, right? If he's got to process this on his computer, it's definitely going to take a full day. So that's another full day, and then the sunk cost therein. It's probably going to take another full day to clean up the map, deliver them to Pix4D model, deliver them to DXF to do all the measurements. So here's the thing. If he's got to do linear measurements around the whole site, that's going to take him probably a couple hours. An experienced Pix4D user, it would probably take him like someone like Mark Blackland, would probably take him like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But for guys who are not, you know, used to it and don't understand ellipsoid error and don't understand how to actually mark these properly to, again, get the best measurements possible, you can run into problems. So I think, you know, it could be hard for him to get $3,500. I don't know. This is in California. Typically, the price
so maybe
points
not.
Are a little higher. But I think anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500, he should be, you know, just fine. I mean, his margin should be at least 40 or 50% in my
eyes. I agree. No, I totally agree. At least that.
Yeah, at least that. Because
right.
It's not only his time, but what does his equipment cost? Is it worth
exactly.
it? You know, the computer, the software. So.
And he's also going to take an observer with him, which I don't, you know, that
I don't, yeah.
$100 a day or a couple $100 a day, depending on what they're doing, would be more than fair. I guess one of the things I was getting at, and that's all very helpful, but one of the other things I was looking at is what would be his competition? They would have to hire an actual surveying company to mm-hmm. come do this stuff, right?
That's actually a good question. I wonder what it costs for a survey company to go out and do a topo.
Yeah, I would
I
think.
I should have asked Eric that today.
Think it'd be quite expensive.
I would imagine so. You know what? Another person who would know that is Jason. Interesting.
That's kind of how I was thinking about this.
Comps are important.
I think so, yeah. I mean...
Because it's also time, right? How much time are they saving?
Right. And I was thinking this could be less invasive to the environment there, but typically surveyors, you know, you kind of see them peripherally. They're around, but they don't really get in the way. They're pretty good about getting what they need and not getting in the way of the things going on around them. So I don't know that that's a big selling point. Interestingly enough, I think part of the selling point is that people think it's cool to use drones for this stuff in kind of a weird way. The psychology of doing this with UAVs
well, see,
could
the
play
big
in
thing,
his favor.
The big thing, the big difference here between the survey and the drone survey is they could use the drone survey for so much more than just this.
True.
They can use it as, installation record, how far along the process are they, send it to the investors, send it to the marketing team. Maybe they need to send it to a couple other people to say, hey, this is an issue. I mean, the data has unlimited use.
Right.
Really unlimited use.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, in effect, those are upsells over that competition that I'm referring to. So all of that said, you still comfortable with $3,500? Like if you were going to bid this job?
I'd ask for more if it were me. So, but again, you know, construction is one of those lower barrier to entries. So it also depends on, there's a lot that really goes into that. I would try to get 4,500 out of it because that's a lot of time. You know, grand a day. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mark, I hope that's helpful. Feel free to reach back out to us with follow-up questions, and we'll do our best to dig into those a little bit. I think one of the things you're hearing here is that the pricing on some of this stuff is not an exact science. There's sort of an art to it. And I'm sure there are people that would disagree with that. And sure, you could take spreadsheets and you could turn any kind of project like this into a big algorithm of how you price it. But ultimately, until you take that to the market, I suppose maybe it would help you justify it to the market. But I don't know that they're necessarily, typically you're not justifying your prices to clients with that much detail anyways. You're gauging what the value of your services and deliverables are and pricing accordingly. And I think what we've been through here today and what Paul's coming up with as far as what he would ask for. And we've seen it. I mean, you're not pulling that out of your behind.
You've
priced many other projects that aren't exactly like this, but they're not that far removed either.
True.
So hope that helps. And like I said, reach out to us if you have follow-up questions.
Definitely. By the way, don't forget to check out our upcoming mapping class in Austin, Texas, which will be held at another training location, school training location, just south of Austin, where you will be able to not only learn the processing aspect of creating maps, but you're also going to learn the acquisition side. You're going to go through three exercises that really showcase the different features of Pix4D. And then we're going to go outside again and ensure that you understand the acquisition techniques to really acquire data that most people cannot acquire because of the lack of knowledge on the deviations and errors in taking oblique imagery and how to do free flight missions and so much more. It's one of the few mapping classes that really innately focuses on acquisition as much as it does processing. By the end of this class, which again, as Bruce would say, is soup to nuts, will really help you understand not only how to acquire imagery, process imagery, but output and deliver that imagery to a client.
Very cool.
Yeah. So check it out.
Yeah.
bit.ly/drone-mapping-classes, plural. Don't write plural. I'm just telling you it's plural, okay? Anyway,
those literal thinkers out there like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that is going to do it for our show today. Thanks again for watching. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.